look at the last three verses of, or the last three words of verse 26 of John chapter 11, when the Lord asks this question to Martha, "Believest thou this? Believest thou this?" That's what I've entitled this message. Believest thou this? Lazarus has been dead 4 days. With the smells that come from a decaying body reeking in his tomb. Graveyard dead. And the Lord assures Martha, "Thy brother shall rise again." Verse 24 of John chapter 11, Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day." I already know that. I understand that there will be a resurrection that'll take place on the last day. Do you know that the belief in the resurrection is unique to what people call the Abrahamic religions? I hate using that term, but that's what they call Christianity and Muslim and Judaism. They all have the common founding father, Abraham, they say. And only in those three religions is there a belief in a literal resurrection of the dead. This is taught clearly in both Old Testament and New Testament. I want to read a passage of Scripture from Job 19, which is said to be the oldest book in the Bible. Whether it is or not, I don't know, but it's said to be that. And we read in verse 25 of Job chapter 19, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand on the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body," that's going to be the end of my body and your body, "yet in my flesh will I see God." I'm going to be raised from the dead. "And in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." So the Old Testament clearly taught the resurrection of the dead. In Matthew chapter 22, there were some Sadducees who denied the resurrection. And if you want to return there to Matthew chapter 22, they had told the story of a woman who had 7 different husbands. And they all died, and they said, "Which one is going to be your husband in the resurrection?" And this they were saying because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Now, in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 22, "Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the 7? For all had her." And Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err." Now, the Sadducees denied the resurrection. "You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." All error comes from those two things, doesn't it? You don't know the scriptures, nor the power of God. "For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Now, would you have ever thought that that statement taught the resurrection? I wouldn't have. That lets us know how deep the scriptures are. And the Lord tells us he's not the God of the dead. Abraham lives. Isaac lives. Jacob lives. He's the God of the resurrection. Now, back to John 11. Martha had demonstrated that she already understood the resurrection. I know there's going to be a resurrection the last day, and this is glorious. The fact that there's going to be a final bodily resurrection. I love what Paul said to Agrippa. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? He's all powerful. It's not difficult. Even if someone has gone through the process of decay, even if someone has been cremated and is nothing but ashes, even if whatever the case, God, because of who He is able to take a dead man and raise him from the dead. Now you think of all the advances we've had in medicine, but here's something medicine has never come up with: the ability to raise the dead. Now, back to John chapter 11. Martha said unto him, the Lord Jesus, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I have no doubt the Lord taught him this. And she knew that there would be a final resurrection. And then the way the Lord answers her is amazing. Jesus, verse 25, said unto her, I am the resurrection. It's not an event. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's what I entitled this message. Believest thou this? Now the Lord says, I am the resurrection. And this is spoken in the present tense, but he had not yet died. And he was not yet raised from the dead. Nor had the final resurrection taken place. So how does he make this claim? I am the resurrection. I am the life. How can he say that? I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 13. Hold your finger there in John 11. This means something. The resurrection is not an event. I myself am the resurrection. I am the life. In John chapter 13. And before I read this passage of Scripture, the entire Bible is understood in light of this verse of Scripture. And really, you don't understand the message of the Bible if you don't have this verse of Scripture. Verse 8 of Revelation chapter 13, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, speaking of this false prophet. They'll all worship him. This man who has a false message, they'll all worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, do you hear that? Before the foundation of the world, before there was a creation, before there was sun, before there were stars, before there was matter, when all there was God in the Trinity of His sacred persons, Christ was the Lamb slain from the very foundation of the world. Understand this. The reason the universe was created, the reason for this was that Christ might come in time and be slain. He's the Lamb having been slain from the foundation of the world. Now stay in Revelation and turn to Revelation chapter 5. Now while you're turning there, I want to ask you a question. If before time began, he was the lamb slain, did he stay slain before time began? Why, no. Not only is he the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, he's the lamb having been raised from the foundation of the world as the resurrection. Of course he didn't stay slain. Somebody says, do you understand what you're talking about? No, but I believe it. This is what the Bible teaches. Christ is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's the lamb raised from the foundation of the world. Now, in Revelation chapter 5, we're given a look at the end in eternity future when time is no more. Now, the book of Revelation is seven visions spoken from three different perspectives or points of view. That's if you look at the book, the whole book, it's seven different visions, and he gives us a different view of each vision. Now, this vision of Revelation chapter 5 is the final vision. And look what it says. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. But it's no more slain, is he? He's raised. He was slain. Now this is a look at eternity future. Eternity past, the lamb having been slain from the foundation of the world. Eternity future, when he looked for that lion, what did he see? And behold, lo, in the midst of the throne, verse 6, of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book. He didn't ask for it. He didn't say, may I have it, please? He came as equal to the Father, the Lamb having been slain, and took the book. That book that had the names of those written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain and raised in the eternities must be slain and raised in time. The Lord says to her, I am the resurrection. We're not looking to some past event. I am the resurrection and the life. Now the Lord told his disciples on three different occasions that he would be slain, and the third day he would be raised from the dead. I mean, he told them that as plain as day. You couldn't mistake it. And yet none of the disciples were there at the tomb waiting on that third day for him to be raised. Why? They didn't believe. They didn't believe. I believe the only one who did of all the disciples was Mary, because the Lord said that she had anointed my body for the burial. You remember that story. There was one disciple of all the disciples that seemed to have some kind of belief that he would be raised from the dead. Mary. And he says, the resurrection is not an event. I'm the lamb slain and raised from the foundation of the world in eternity future. I'm the lamb slain and raised from the foundation of the world. Now, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2, the writer to the Hebrews speaks of the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. The doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. Now, somebody says, well, I can't believe, don't really believe that somebody that's dead and has gone through the process of decay can be raised from the dead. God is enabled, has the power to raise somebody from the dead, just like he has the power to create the universe. To believe that somehow the universe just came out of some primordial stew, one cell being, and now all of a sudden we have all of this. There's a lot more blind faith involved in that than there is in believing that God created the universe and that God can raise the dead. God's all powerful. It's not difficult for God to raise the dead. Now, in the scripture, there are three resurrections taught. First, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I mean, when he was on that cross, he died. They took down a dead corpse and put it in the tomb. And he was in that tomb for 3 days, dead, graveyard dead. Somebody says, how can Jesus Christ die if he's the God-man? I don't know, but I know he did. He did, suffering under the wrath of God, and he died. And he was in that tomb in darkness. And all of a sudden, his heart began to beat. And he breathed, and he opened his eyes. No one witnessed this but his Father. No human being witnessed it. But from that dark tomb, he arose. And the scripture says he was delivered for our offenses. That's why he died. He was delivered for our offenses. The sins of God's elect were laid on him. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That's why he died. But he did something no one else could do. He satisfied the justice of God, the offended law of God. He satisfied. You and I couldn't do that. The reason hell is eternal, because we can never satisfy. God can never say, well, they've done enough. They've suffered enough. It's, even though they killed my son, they've suffered enough. Now I'm letting them off the hook. No, there's no satisfaction. That's why hell is eternal. If somebody killed your child, they couldn't come up to you and say, was $10 million enough to satisfy you? No. No, I can't be satisfied. The only way I can be satisfied is if my child is raised from the dead and complete satisfaction is made and justice is meted out. I have to have both of those things. God had him in his son. The reason God is satisfied with me and God is satisfied with me is because of what Jesus Christ did for me. He lived for me. He died for me. He was raised for me. Satisfaction. The second resurrection taught, the first is the bodily resurrection of Christ. The second resurrection that's taught is the spiritual resurrection that takes place in the new birth. You and I are born into this world spiritually dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. If you are hearing this message and have no understanding or no interest, it's because you're dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead. When Adam died, we all died in him. We're born into this world without the ability to have spiritual life. We're dead. And that's a blameworthy thing. You said, but don't you feel sorry for him? Yeah, in a sense I do. I understand that, but I'm to be blamed for my spiritual deadness. It's because of sin against God. When Adam sinned against God, I sinned against God. When Adam fell, I fell. When Adam died, I died. And I'm born into this world dead in trespasses and sins. And then there's a spiritual resurrection that takes place. And you hath he quickened, hath he given life to, who were dead in trespasses and sins. There's a spiritual resurrection from the dead. That's what happens in the new birth when God gives life. And then third resurrection is the final resurrection. Listen to the Lord's words in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. The hour is coming in which all that are in the graves, you're going to be in the grave one of these days unless the Lord comes back. This is the heritage of every one of us, death. The hour is coming in which all that are in their grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, to the resurrection of damnation. Now the Lord talks about a final resurrection. Everybody's going to hear his voice. Everybody's going to be raised from the dead. And there are two ends. The resurrection of life, given to those who have done good. And I love the way the Lord says this. He doesn't say to those who I died for them, although that's the reason they're good. But he says with regard to every believer, you've done good. That is the synopsis of the life of every believer. You've done good. How? Because Christ did good. And his goodness is my goodness. His righteousness is my righteousness. His life is my life. That's why I have confidence with regard to judgment. I've done good. I'm going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you know, even when I say that, I cringe because I know how sinful I am, or I have some idea of how sinful I am. But yet, this is what every believer is going to hear. That's they that have done good. Not just they that have Christ's righteousness imputed to them, although that's true. They that have done good. That is the summary of the life of every believer. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. And what a horrible thought to be raised to know that you're going to spend eternity under God's wrath, and it won't stop. That's scary to even think about and talk about, isn't it? But there we have it. Now, every believer has experienced all three of these resurrections. First, when Christ was raised from the dead, guess who else was? Everybody he represented. Now let me show you this in the scripture. Turn to Ephesians 2. I'd like you to look at this with me. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. When Christ was quickened and raised from the dead, I was too. Every believer was. And hath raised us up together. When Christ was raised, I was raised, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, that's how Christ is the resurrection. When he was raised, I was raised. When he sat down at the right hand of the Father, everybody in him sat down at the right hand of the Father. So I was raised then. And then I've had this spiritual resurrection when I was born from above and given life from the dead. And then I'm going to experience that final resurrection when I'm raised from the dead, incorruptible, perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Well, it's hard to imagine, but when I'm going to be raised, I'm not going to be a sinner anymore. I'm going to be without fault before God. And that's the heritage of every single believer. The Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. Verse 25, I'm the resurrection and the life. John 11, 25. He that believeth in me, though he were dead in sins, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe this? Notice he says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Note the order. Now, you can't believe unless you have life. A natural man can't believe, he's dead. You can't believe unless you're given life by God. Life, spiritual life, must come before faith. Now, logically, life has to come before faith. Chronologically, they come at the precise same time. When you hear the gospel and believe, life. God gave you life, and that is why you believe. And I love the way the Lord makes this order. Whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, wait a minute. You mean to say you're never going to die? Well, this body's going to die. No doubt. But do you know the spirit that I'm going to have in heaven? The holy nature that worships God? I've got right now. I've got it right now. And you know what? It's never going to die. It's going to live in heaven. Now, my body's going to be laid down. Die. And in the resurrection, I'm going to be given a new body. A heavenly, spiritual body. What all that is, I don't know, but I like thinking about it. It's what the Bible teaches. You know, the stuff we believe is because the Bible says it. It's not, that's why we believe. It's because what the Bible says. I love the Word of God. I'm so thankful God gave a revelation of Himself. What would we know without the Bible? The Bible's the Word of God. Now, if you believe that God is able to create the universe, you also believe God is able to inspire a word and keep it preserved. I have no problem with that. Somebody says, I just can't believe the Bible's the Word of God. Well, I'm sorry, I know it is. It's the Word of the living God. And the Word of the living God reveals this to us. The Lord says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, when does a man have spiritual life? When he believes. When he believes the gospel. You know, Romans 10:4 says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Do you believe? Do you believe that His righteousness is the only righteousness you have? Do you believe that? You're trusting His righteousness as your righteousness before God. That's life. That's spiritual life. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Why do you know that's the evidence of election? How do I know if I'm elect? How do I know if God chose me before time began to be saved? Well, Acts 13:48 says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. That's who believes. Those who have been ordained to eternal life. Now that person who lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, I am the resurrection. Most people who don't fall under the umbrella of professing Christianity do not believe in a resurrection. Like, remember when Paul was preaching on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17 and he started talking about the resurrection, it says they began to mock. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But most of what goes on under the name of Christianity, and you know, I don't even like the term Christianity. I think it's maybe a better term would be Christiansanity, you know, as far as the what most stuff is that goes on under the name of Christianity. I'm ashamed of it. I don't want to be identified with it. Man's religion that goes under the name of Christianity, but just about everybody that professes Christianity believes in a resurrection. Yes, I believe Christ was raised from the dead. I really believe that. I believe He's raised from the dead, and I believe that there'll be a final resurrection. I believe that. But did you know that if all you believe is that it happened, and you have no understanding of why it happened, you don't really know what saving faith is. Just believing that the event took place and not knowing what the Lord meant when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, what's the heart? Well, the heart is the mind, it's the affections, it's the will. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With my understanding, I understand that Jesus Christ is my righteousness before God, that when he was raised from the dead, my righteousness was accomplished. Not only do I understand that as much as it could be understood, you know, I love it. And that's the way I want it to be. I don't want it to be any other way. I am the resurrection, our Lord said. I am the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? Think of the Lord asking you this question personally. Believest thou this? Why was Christ raised from the dead? It's not enough to believe that he was raised from the dead. Most people believe that. Why was Christ raised from the dead? Now, let me close by giving you five or six real brief sentences with regard to his resurrection. The reason Christ was raised from the dead was because it was God's eternal purpose for him to do so. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's the Lamb having been raised from the foundation of the world. You see, this is the glory of God. Jesus Christ living and dying and being raised from the dead is the very glory of the living God. Christ was raised from the dead because he said he would be. That's enough. Whatever he says must come to pass. He said he would be raised from the dead. He told his disciples on at least three different occasions it'd take place. It took place. Third, the justice of God demanded his resurrection. You see, he did what nobody else could do. He satisfied God. He satisfied the law of God. He satisfied all of God's demands. He satisfied God to this extent. Everybody he died for, God is completely satisfied with. He's not looking for anything else. He's not looking for some work from you. He's completely satisfied with what his son did. Only Christ could satisfy God. Romans 4:25 says he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. The reason he was raised from the dead is because he justified everybody. He said, the moment he died, all of the elect were justified. That's why he's raised from the dead. He was raised from the dead because of who he is. It was not possible for him to stay dead. That's what the scripture says. It was not possible for him to stay dead. Now I want you to, in closing, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. You mean baptism saves? The act of baptism doesn't save. Going under the water and coming back up, do you think that would satisfy God? It's what it represents. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh in the act of going under the water, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know the only thing that satisfies a believer's conscience? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's it. My conscience is clear. Well, if your conscience is clear, it's because it's seared. That's the problem. I don't feel guilty about that. Well, you ought to. You ought to. I mean, it just the only thing that satisfies and quiets a conscience and makes it know that God is satisfied is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the only thing that I have hope in. His resurrection, that God is satisfied with what he did and he put away sin, and I really have no sin to feel guilty about. That's what the resurrection of Christ tells me. I have no sin. He was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. In Christ Jesus, I have no sin. When he was raised from the dead, I was justified. I know my brother will be raised on the final day of the resurrection. I've got my doctrine down on that. I've been taught well, and I know that stuff. Martha, do you understand that I am the resurrection? It's not an event. I'm it. I am the life. My life, here's why I have confidence with regard to Judgment Day. His life, his perfect life, is my life before God. And if you want to know the truth about me, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The life of Christ is my life before God. I'm the resurrection. I am the life. What a gospel we have. May the Lord give every one of us the grace to believe the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you that your Son is eternally the resurrection and the life. And Lord, enable us to believe this. Enable us to believe that thy Son is the resurrection and the life. Lord, deliver us from believing anything else. Bless this message for the Lord's sake. In his name we pray.